Once there was a Yid named Yosef. There once was a Yid named Yosef. And he's walking down the road and he feels sad. I have no money. I have no job. I need money for my wife, for my kinderloch. I need a job. I have to do something. It's hard to find a job. It's hard to find a way to make money. What can I do? And he goes to the marketplace. That's where the people are buying and selling and making money. All of a sudden, he hears a man calling out, "Who want to buy milk? Beautiful, delicious, good, healthy milk. $1 a bottle for the milk. Come to buy the milk. It's so good for you and good for your children too." Oh, look it. He's selling milk. That's a good job. I wonder where he gets the milk from. Has to have cows, right? Well, cows are expensive. To have cows to get milk, I don't have money for a cow. But he watches how people come up to the man. "I want a bottle of milk. Here's $1. Oh, I'll take a bottle of milk. Here's $1. Boy, he's making money. People need milk. People drink milk every day. And Yosef goes over to the man. "Excuse me, Mr. Milkman. What's your name?"
"Hey, my name is Boris. Boris the Milkman."
"Well, where do you get the milk that you're selling for $1 a bottle? Do you have your own cows?"
"Oh, no, I don't have my own cows. I rent the cows. What I have, it's not my own cows, but the porets, you know the porets that lives in the big castle on the big hill?"
Well, of course, everybody knows the porets. He owns the whole town, and he owns all the houses and all the buildings and all the lakes and all the forests. And this porets, Kinalach, as Boris is going to tell you about, let Boris tell you about it. The Boris, he has 1,000 cows in his big barn. Well, he lets some of us milkmen that we rent the cows. How do we rent the cows? Well, I sell a bottle for $1, but I don't get to keep the dollar. I have to pay from each bottle at 10 cents to the porets because he's letting me to use his cows to get the milk. So I get to make my 90 cents and he gets to keep 10 cents. Unless he gets in a bad mood and he changes it and he wants more. But, you know, once a year we make the deal how much I have to pay the porets. So every day I go to take care of him, the cows. I go to his barn, 1,000 cows, and I take the cows. Rabbi Yosef says, "How do you know which is your cows if it's 1,000 cows? How many cows do you have?" "Well, I have about 50 cows. Each cow has my name on it. I write my name on the cow in such a way that it doesn't come off. And I see it's my cows. Boris, here's a cow, Boris. Not the cow is Boris, I am Boris. But this is my cow. Not really my cow, the porets' cow. But you know, I rent from the porets this cow, this cow, this cow. Altogether, Boris, 50 cows. And I take care from the cows. I pay the money from the milk." Of course, you cannot get any kind of tricky with porets because he has an officer. The officer what goes to see how much milk you sell. And he counts each bottle and then he makes on the paper how much money I must pay the porets. If I make any funny business, it's not so funny because the porets could put the person that rents the cow and cheat the porets, he puts him in the dungeon. Everybody knows what a dungeon is? Under the palace, the jail. So this is how I make a living. Oh yes, good, I make not bad the living. I have enough to buy what I need. Well, Rabbi Yosef is thinking to himself, that's nice that he rents from the porets the cows. Well, he goes down the street a little bit further, and over there is another milkman. His name was Igor. Also, he rents from the Poritz. And down somewhere else, there's Vladimir. He also rents. Well, Boris rents, and Igor, and Vladimir. Maybe I could also rent some cows from the Poritz. And I'll go to a different part of the marketplace, and I'll sell the milk. Well, Kenelach, Yosef decides he's going to go and ask the Poritz to be able to rent from the cows. And he goes to the road that goes up the hill, and on top of the hill is the castle of the Poritz. And of course, in front of the castle, there's a big gate, and by the gate are guards. And the guards see Yosef, a Jew, and they say, "What do you want by the Poritz's castle? A Jew? You are coming to the Poritz's castle? He doesn't like Jews too much, you know. Maybe you should turn around and go away." "Oh, no, no. I would like to rent some cows from the Poritz, and that way I will pay the Poritz money because I'll sell the milk, and I'll also get to keep some money." Well, let's see. The Poritz doesn't like Jews, but he likes money. Let's see. This Jew will get the Poritz a way to get money. Well, maybe in that way, the Poritz might listen to this Jew, because he'll make the Poritz some money. Well, okay. The Poritz is not in such a good mood today. So, at your own risk, go ahead. And they let him through the gate. He knocks on the big door. And, of course, the servant opens the door. What do you want? To speak to the Poritz about renting cows. "Renting cows? I think all the cows are rented, the 1,000 cows. Oh, let me find out." And the servant goes to some officer inside over there and starts talking to him. And the officer tells him, "No, there are 10 cows that are not yet rented. 10 cows." "Okay, come in. The Poritz will see you." Goes to the Poritz. Poritz, of course, is a very mean-looking Poritz. If he was such a nice Poritz, it wouldn't be such a story over here. But the story is with the mean Poritz. "What do you want?" I would like to rent 10 cows so I could pay you some money to sell the milk, and I'll also get some money." "Well, I do have 10 cows in my barn that are not yet rented, so I will consider renting you the cows." And Yosef says, "Well, in the marketplace, I was talking to Boris, and so he gets to keep 90 cents, and he gives you 10. And I was also talking to Igor, and he gets to pay you 10 cents and keep for himself 90 cents. And Vladimir, also, I heard that he gets to give you 10 cents and keep 90. So I would like to also sell the milk for a dollar and pay you 10 cents and keep 90. And the Poritz says, "What? I'm not going to do that for you. I did it for them. I was in a good mood that time. But today I'm not such a good mood. So for you it's going to be different. You have to pay me 50 cents. Now, if he's going to pay the Poritz 50 cents for a bottle of milk, how much he gets to keep for himself? Anybody know?
50.
50 cents for him and 50 cents for the Poritz. Half and half. Well, Yosef had no choice. And they have to sign the paper. And the Poritz says to Yosef, "Now you listen here. Every day I send my milk officer to check how much you sold. And I know how much money you have to give me. Now, you have to give me that money no matter what the price is." And Yosef says, "What do you mean? Isn't the price of a bottle a dollar? So I get to keep 50 cents? And the Poritz says, "Well, wait a minute. Today it's a dollar. Don't you know the price of milk sometimes goes up and sometimes the price of milk goes down? Depends how much cows It depends how much milk the cows are making. If there's a lot of milk on the market, the price goes down. And if there's not so much milk, the price can go up. It depends how much milk there is to buy and how many people there are buying the milk. There's a lot of things that it makes, you know, if the milk goes, the price goes up or down. Now, even if the price goes down, you still have to pay me 50 cents. If the price goes up, and let's say milk is more money, so you get to keep more money, you pay me 50 cents. But even if the price goes down, you have to pay me 50 cents. And if you don't pay me 50 cents on each dollar, you get thrown in the dungeon. So you better watch to make sure that you pay me my money every day. And Kinalach, he had to sign the paper that Yosef pays 50 cents a bottle of milk that he sells to the Poritz. Yosef now made a deal with the big Poritz in the castle that he will get 10 cows that will be his cows, not to keep, but to rent. And in exchange, he pays the Poritz 50 cents each bottle of milk that he sells. And the officer of the milk inspects and makes sure that Yosef pays, just like Boris has to pay, and Igor, and Vladimir, and all of the other people that rent the 1,000 cows of the Poritz. And if he, Chas v'shalom, will not pay the Poritz will get upset, and he will throw Yosef or anybody else that he wants to in the dungeon under the castle. And so, Kinalach, the officer of the cows, I don't know if that was the same one as the officer of the milk, but he takes now Yosef out from the Poritz's room, and he says, come with me, we're going to the big barn, and there are 10 cows that are not yet rented, and we'll put your name on each of the cows so you know which cows to take each morning to take care of them, to get their milk, and to go sell it. And of course they go into the barn, and over there are 10 cows. Ooh, not bad. Nice cows. Okay, how do you write your name? We have to write it on each cow. Well, it's a Yud and a Vav and a Samech and a Langafay. What? What do you mean? What are you talking about? How do you write your name? Oh yeah, I forgot. He doesn't know how to write Hebrew. Well, somehow they write the name Yosef on each of the cows. And Yosef takes the cows out in the field that they should eat. And he milks the cows. And he puts the milk in the bottles. And now he goes to the marketplace. And over there, Boris and Vladimir and Igor already signed the milk. Who wants to buy the milk? $1 a bottle. And Yosef finds a place in a different place of the marketplace. Who wants to buy delicious milk? $1 a bottle. And people came to buy the milk. And at the end of the day, he sold all of his bottles of milk. And he took the money that he owes the Poritz. And the officer of the milk, who collects the money, takes the money. And Yosef has money left over. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I made money today. And he goes to buy the things that he needs for his family, the food or the other things, whatever he needs. And he's so happy. Baruch Hashem, I'm making a living. I have a job. I make money for my family. And this went on for several days. Everything went good. And then one morning, Yosef goes into the marketplace to sell the milk, and he passes by Boris. And Boris is saying, milk, 90 cents a bottle. What? It's not $1 a bottle, 90 cents? What's more, 90 cents or $1? What's more?
$1.
A dollar is more. A dollar is 100 cents. 90 cents is 10 cents less. Milk is cheaper today. And then he hears Igor yelling, "Who want to buy milk? Today milk, 90 cents a bottle." And Vladimir is screaming his head off, "Who want to buy milk? Today 90 cents. Wait a minute. Why isn't it a dollar? And he goes to Boris, "How come the milk is cheaper today?" "Well, the cows, they give more milk. And so much people come to buy. This is the way the market works. The price goes down. So it's 90 cents a bottle." Well, Ken Allah, Yosef thinks to himself, instead of making 50 cents for myself on each bottle, I'll have to only make 40 cents because I have to give the parrots 50 cents a bottle. I'm going to make less money today for the same work. But Ken Allah, at least he made some money and he was able to buy stuff for his family. And this went on for a few days. Until one day, Yosef comes to the marketplace and Boris is screaming, "A milk today, 80 cents a bottle." Uh-oh, the price is going down. "Boris, how come the price is cheaper?" "Oh, the cows give even more milk and much more people come to the marketplace. The milk is cheaper." And this went on for a few days, Kenalach, until one day he comes to the marketplace, 70 cents a bottle. And then later on, 60 cents a bottle. Until one day Yosef comes to the marketplace and Boris and Igor and Vladimir are all screaming, "Milk, only 50 cents a bottle." Uh-oh. Now, Boris and Igor and Vladimir only have to give the parrots 10 cents. They're still making money. They're not making that much money. But if Yosef has to pay 50 cents to the parrots, and he's selling for 50 cents, how much money does he make? How much money does he make?
Nothing.
He makes nothing. He's working for nothing. Zero. I give out. And if he does not give the money to the parrots and he takes it for himself, he's going to get in big, gigantic trouble because the parrots will get him. And he cannot go and say to the parrots, "Oh, what can I do? The price went down." Does the parrots care? The parrots doesn't care. The parrots wants his money and that's all. Oy gewalt, I'm going to work a whole day for nothing and I'll have nothing to bring to my family. Ken Allah, Yosef worked a whole day. He sold his milk. The officer of the milk came and took all of his money. And he went home with nothing. And the Ken Allah were hungry and his wife was hungry and there was nothing they could do. And Ken Allah, the next day and the next day, the same thing. Yosef is in a big trouble. And he and his wife talked it over. Of course, they're davening the whole time and saying Tillim and asking Hashem to help. But there's one more thing they can do for themselves to help. And Yosef decided he's going to go to a tzaddik. And this tzaddik, his name was Reb Chaim Meir. He was a Halakha tzaddik. And Rabbi Yosef is going to travel to that tzaddik and ask him some kind of advice or help or what to do. Because a tzaddik is close to Hashem. And when you go to a tzaddik, it is the closest you can go, you can get to going straight to Hashem. And maybe the tzaddik, with his Ruach HaKodesh, can help you in a special way. Of course, all help is from Hashem, but the connection is through the tzaddik. And Ken Allah, he goes to Reb Chaim Meir, and he's able to speak to him, and he tells him the trouble, and he cries. And then he looks up, and Reb Chaim Meir is looking at him with a smile. He says, Yosef, I tell you what, since it's close to Shabbos, and you made a long trip, why don't you spend Shabbos with me? Spend Shabbos here. You'll have a good Shabbos. And go home after Shabbos. And Hashem will help. Everything will be okay. Now, Ken Alach, this is all that Reb Chaim Meir said. He didn't start talking about the problem or giving advice. He just said, why don't you spend Shabbos here? Before Yosef left, he spoke to his wife. When is he coming back? Well, he'll hope to be back for Shabbos, but it depends. He might spend Shabbos also there. He didn't exactly know. And Kenelach, Reb Chaim Yosef was so happy at the invitation to spend Shabbos. He decided he's going to stay and spend Shabbos with Reb Chaim Meir in his shul with the people there. He had a place to stay. He had a beautiful Shabbos. He heard words of Torah and sang a lot of Nigunim. And the davening was beautiful. And then, Kenelach, it came, Moitzi Shabbos. Tomorrow morning, he's going to wake up early and go back home. And of course, he didn't know exactly what's going to happen when he gets home because, you know, Reb Chaim Meir didn't tell him anything about his problem. Moitzi Shabbos, as Yosef is thinking about getting ready to leave tomorrow, and he's going to go back to the place he's staying, all of a sudden, the helper of Reb Chaim Meir comes to him as he's leaving the shul, and he says, Yosef, Reb Chaim Meir is calling for you to come to his room. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. And he quickly goes to Reb Chaim Meir's room, the special room in the shul where Reb Chaim Meir learns. And Reb Chaim Meir is sitting there behind his desk. And he says to Yosef, Yosef, on Moitzi Shabbos, I like to smoke my pipe. And he opened up his drawer, and he took out a pipe and tobacco. And he put the tobacco in the pipe, and he put his pipe in his mouth. And he says to Rabbi Yosef, you know, what I would like for you to do is to help me to light the pipe because the fire is in the fireplace across the room. There was a fireplace burning with logs and fire on the other side of the room. And he asked Yosef to light the pipe. Now before we go on to light Reb Chaim Meir's pipe, we're going to say this. Everything a tzaddik does, even a regular thing for his body, is not just a thing for his body, but it's a thing for his neshama. Many tzaddikim used to smoke a pipe on Moitzi Shabbos, or maybe another time, and this was connected to avodas Hashem, to serving Hashem in a special way, not just because they liked smoking. And nowadays we know that smoking is not good for your health. So a person shouldn't think from this story, ooh, look, a tzaddik is smoking. You know what that means? It's okay to smoke. Is that right or that's not right? It's not right, okay? Smoking, we know, is not good for your health. So you're little kinderlach, so you should know about that. When you get to be big boys or men and tatis, you should stay away from any kind of smoking because it's not good for you. Okay. Now, Kenelach, Reb Chaim Meir says to Yosef, I would like you to help me light the pipe. You see over there by the fireplace, there's a can. And in the can, are rolled up papers. Please go to the fireplace, stick a rolled up paper in the fire, and bring it to me so I can light my pipe. Well, Kinalach, Yosef is happy to do that, to help his Rebbe to light his pipe. So he goes to the fireplace, he takes the paper, he puts it in the fire, and it starts to burn, and he goes across the room with the burning paper, and he brings it to Reb Chaim Meir, and he wants to put it by the pipe, but all of a sudden the fire went out. It burned up. Well, Reb Chaim Meir says, Yosef, maybe you should take a bigger paper. Okay, Yosef goes back to the can. He finds the biggest paper that he can in the can. The biggest paper that he can find in the can, he finds in the can, and he hopes that this time he can light the pipe with that paper that he got in the can. Well, he goes and puts the paper in the fire, and he lights the paper, and the paper is burning, and he goes across the room as quickly as he can, and of course the paper burns more. And he goes to Reb Chaim Meir's pipe, and he gives him the paper that he should light the pipe, or he puts the paper himself with a fire by the pipe, and just as he's about to light the pipe, the paper burned up. And Reb Chaim Meir smiles and he says, Yosef, on the other side of the room, you see over there, there's a big can. And over there in the big can are very big papers. So why don't you take a very big paper, and this time hopefully you'll be able to light the pipe with a very big paper. Okay, Reb Yosef. Okay, Yosef goes to the big can on the other side of the room. And he gets the biggest paper that he can find in that can. And he rolls it up and he goes to the fire. He puts the big, big paper in the fire. And the paper starts to burn. And this time Yosef runs across the room as fast as he can go, and the paper is burning. And as he gives the paper to Reb Chaim Meir's pipe, Reb Chaim Meir lights the pipe, and the pipe starts to burn, and the smoke comes up from the pipe, and everything was good that time. And now Reb Chaim Meir leans back in his seat, and he's smoking his pipe, and he has a faraway look in his face and his eyes, as if he's looking far away. And Yosef is just standing there with two feelings, a good feeling that he lit the pipe and a wondering feeling of what's going to happen now, because after all, he came all the way to his Rebbe with a big problem. His Rebbe did not say anything about the problem. All he did by his Rebbe was spend Shabbos and light his Rebbe's pipe and run around the room with burning papers. And now, what's going to happen before he goes home with his big problem that he has no money and the poorites will throw him in the dungeon if he doesn't come through with his payments? And all of a sudden, Reb Chaim Meir smiles and he says, Yosef, thank you for coming to me for Shabbos. I hope you had a nice Shabbos. And thank you very much for lighting my pipe. Have a nice trip home, and Hashem will help. Everything will be okay. Don't worry about your problem. Things will work out, and Hashem will help. And Kinalach, Yosef felt very good, and at the same time, a little bit kind of wondering and confused and surprised, because he had a wonderful Shabbos. He felt close to his Rebbe and close to Hashem, as if things are going to be okay. But on the other hand, he doesn't have a way out of his problem, because all he did the whole time was have a nice Shabbos and light his Rebbe's pipe. Which, that's very good, but like, what's that going to help his problem? Kinalach, the next morning, Yosef woke up, and he davened, and he learned some Torah, and he ate his breakfast, and now he travels back to his town. And when he got to his town, he saw a lot of people gathered together, talking, very excited. Some kind of news, something like when you see people are very talking together in a very, like, you know, special way. Something happened. And Yosef goes by the people and they say, "Hey, Yosef, you were not here for Shabbos. Did you hear what happened? We're sorry this happened, because it seems that it also happened to you." Yosef says, "What do you mean, what happened?" He says, "Well, on Shabbos..." No, it wasn't on Shabbos. The people said, "It was late last night, Moitzi Shabbos. After Shabbos, all of a sudden, there was a big fire."